Hello, and welcome to Community Conversations. These are pre-recorded interviews brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. on KRFY. Because of ongoing concerns about the COVID pandemic, we are not able to be in the studio doing live broadcast interviews right now. But we are still dedicated to recording and bringing to you topics of local and current interest, highlighting voices from our community. For Community Conversations, we are using phones and web-based technology so that participants can be recorded remotely. Please bear with us if there are any gaps or hiccups that might be caused by a slow or unstable phone or internet connection. Also, keep in mind that because these interviews are recorded, information may change between the time of this recording and the time that you hear it broadcast. Thank you for joining us for today's Community Conversation on KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Now grab a cup of coffee, sit back and enjoy some more of Adventure Number 8 by Jim Chappelle, and then we'll get on with today's show. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Community Conversations. This morning, I'm your host, Phil Huff, along with Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Well, good morning, Phil. I hope our voices will sound clear and strong with the smoky skies overhead.
Yeah, I hope so. And of course, this is a good chance to remind people we are recording these shows right now, and maybe even hopefully by the time you hear this, it's cleared out a little bit, although the long-range forecast does not look good. Fires are a part of our ecology. They're with us in the fall, and unfortunately, the after effects and the current effects of smoke linger on for a long time. So if you are getting outdoors, be safe. Look for the forecast. Try to go places where the smoke are, and if you are, consider wearing a face mask.
That's right. Don't overdo.
So we've got a lot of fun stuff coming up today. We've been waiting for this day for some time. I know my two boys, Sparky and Oreo, at home can't wait to hear more about adventure cats. Can you, Julie?
I can't wait. I'm not even a cat owner, and I've been looking forward to this program, Phil. Let's introduce our guest and what she does.
We're delighted to have with us today Laura Moss, who is editor-in-chief and co-founder of Adventure Cats. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Wonderful, thank you. And if you can't pick it up, Laura's from Atlanta, and so it's actually probably afternoon her time, but we appreciate you making the time for us, Laura. Tell us a little bit about Adventure Cats, just the brief overview, and then we'll launch into more details.
Yeah, so Adventure Cats is a resource that teaches people safe ways they can take their cats outside. We have a website. Our Instagram is really popular. We have about 160,000 followers, and we have a book that came out a few years ago. And we teach people ways that you can leash train your cat. You can take your cat even to the backyard, and other people take their cats on much bigger trips, on overnight camping trips or paddling trips. And we just kind of want to show people that cats and cat people aren't necessarily what you would expect. And so we're kind of wanting to rebrand cats in a way and help get more cats adopted from shelters.
That's really cool. And, you know, I don't necessarily think of cats as adventure, as the normal adjective for cats. I often think they're maybe calmer or mellower. And we'll get to that later. But Laura, why don't you first tell us just a little bit about yourself and your background? How did you found Adventure Cats?
Well, I didn't intend it to become quite what it is today. My background's in journalism, and I've been writing about the outdoors and nature and animals and pets for a long time, but primarily cats. And I noticed more and more people who were taking their cats out on leashed walks. And so I was very curious about it, and I have a lot of connections in like the pet and veterinary world. So I was saying that I wish there was more of a, there was a resource people could use. And so I was looking at writing some content around it, and then my husband volunteered to build a website for it. So he built a site, and I just started publishing the articles, and I wanted to put it out there for everybody, and it kind of took off. We started, I think it was I think it was Wired actually found the Instagram and reached out. And then the way journalism is today, one outlet writes it, everybody writes it. And so it kind of took off from there and became a much bigger site. And I think that we get a lot of credit for being the creators or the focal point of this community. But there are people who've been walking with their cats, hiking with their cats for years before our website came about. I think we just kind of helped bring that community together.
And we're going to touch on some of those cats a little bit later in the show. You literally have written the book about this, Adventure Cats Living 9 Lives to Its Fullest. Tell us about that. And did that come before or after the website launch?
It came after. The book is kind of a part how-to guide and part just armchair travel, I would say. So we have information on there on how to train your cat, how to walk on a leash, how to teach your cat to come when called. Clicker training, which is, you know, has a lot of mental stimulation benefits for the cat. And then how to take your cat from the backyard, maybe to a park or to an overnight camping trip. And then in between those training chapters, we have what we call cat tales, which are just stories of fearless felines. Anything from cat that goes skiing in Norway to cats that just enjoy backyard walks. So a little bit of everything. So even if you don't want to take your cat outside, we also have a whole section on other ways to keep cats busy and physically active. So anything, what we would call indoor adventures and how to play with cats appropriately, or how to set up, again, what's known as a catio, like an outdoor cat patio. So your cat can kind of come and go and enjoy the great outdoors, but safely.
Laura, this topic kind of blows my mind because I just don't think of cats in these ways. And so I guess the first question I would have is, are all cats suited for adventurers of these sorts?
I think any cat can. I think a lot of it depends on personality. So just as, you know, I have friends who, my husband and I love to hike and camp. We have friends who would rather get a root canal than do that. And I think cats are the same way. I mean, some cats would prefer to sit on the couch, but I think cats today aren't given a lot of choices. You know, they come inside, they never get to, you know, feel grass beneath their feet or, you know, the sun on their face. And, you know, it's a little bit sad. I think we kind of relate, especially right now in quarantine, whereas we're all kind of indoor cats. And I think that, you know, we look at, our cats are actually, you know, pretty wild. They still share most of their genes with wild cats. And they still have these instincts and desires. They need to hunt, and that's for hunting is play for cats. And so I think just giving cats the opportunity, whether it's engaging with them indoors, so, you know, setting up what we would call indoor adventures, playing with them, or enriching their environment, giving them something new every single day, I think we can all relate to having the monotony of being in quarantine.
So I'm thinking at it from a different angle than Julie is. I think cats just embody curiosity. At least I see that in my guys and every cat I've had. And yet not every curious cat is an outdoor cat. Some of them are more armchair travelers, but I think we could say the same thing for most humans. So what is it that you've seen in a cat that leads it to go from being curious, staring out the window at moths? Yes, I'm looking at you, Oreo. To wanting to climb the next peak.
I think it's just, you know, when you take a cat outdoors, you know, we always talk about when you do leash training, you start inside and you move out slowly. You let your cat take those first steps and decide what they want to do. So, I mean, I have one cat that, you know, we go in the backyard. He wants to eat grass and roll around a bit. I have another one who's a bit more adventurous, and he walks down to the creek in my backyard and puts his paws in it. He loves water. So I think it's just a matter of letting the cat decide what they're comfortable doing. And I love the idea of saying that, you know, cats are curious because they are curious creatures. There's a man named Craig Armstrong in Salt Lake City, Utah, and he has a cat named Millie that goes climbing, like canyoneering and rock climbing with him. And I love what he says. He calls it catting, is he'll always take a day on one of his trips where he just does what Millie wants to do. So he follows her wherever she goes, and the pace is slower, and they stop and they look at bugs and rocks and insects, and it's kind of a very mindful experience, but he says it shows him the world from a new point of view. And so I really love that. So I think it's just, you know, let your cat decide what they're comfortable doing. My cats don't want to hike the AT, you know, but they love, you know, neighborhood walks. But
you bring up an interesting point. And of course, I think a lot of our listeners will immediately come to mind. Hiking with cats, there's been enough of exposure to that, that's been seen. But cats are multi-sport. I've crawled over your website. You're talking about canyoneering. There's paddleboarding cats and kayaking cats. Tell us about some of the range of adventures that you know cats are taking.
Yeah, I mean, I know a fair amount of people who go paddling with the cats, and, you know, they're not going down like class 4 rapids by any means, but, you know, they enjoy like a lazy paddle. I think, you know, you got to keep your cat's best interest in mind. Think about what your cat would actually enjoy, and it's not going to be, maybe if you're a big adventurer, a high adventure activity is not great for your cat. But I know a veterinarian who does 5Ks with her cat in a stroller, and she also takes her cat canoeing. Or there's a veterinarian in, I think he's in Michigan, and he goes paddleboarding with his cat all the time. So, you know, if your cat's comfortable with water, I know my youngest cat, we're going to take him out on our kayaks and, you know, see how he does. But we're going to start slow. We're not going to take him on rapids, just like a lazy lake paddle. Because, you know, he's obsessed with water. He's chill in every situation. So if he enjoys that activity, we'll give him the opportunity.
Well, cats love fish. We know that. And then I don't have cats myself, of course, but my brother has cats, and they are obsessed with the kitchen faucet. So maybe there is hope for cats and water.
So are there particular breeds that make for better adventure cats, or are more likely to go after one sport or another?
Not necessarily. I mean, there are breeds that are known for being more interested in water, like the Turkish Van. Is a cat that's, you know, often called the swimming cat, and it has a fast drying fur. And I've heard a lot of talk about like Maine Coons being comfortable in water. You know, depends on the cat, but at one time Maine Coons were the most popular sailing cats. But I would say, I think any cat has that potential. I know a purebred Persian that in Colorado named Floyd the Lion, and he goes on hiking and camping trips all the time. But I mean, I would always tell people, go to a shelter, and if you're looking for a cat that is high energy or might enjoy, you know, going outdoors like this, talk to the shelter and tell them what you're looking for in a cat, and the people who work there can help you pair up with a cat that's good for your lifestyle.
So it doesn't need to be a thoroughbred.
Nope. I would always say adopt first. Adopt over shop.
Yeah, we believe in that as well. Can older cats become adventure cats, or do you have to start them off when they're young?
I think, again, it depends on the cat, and it can be easier if you're leash training a kitten. My youngest cat, Travis, has been in a leash after he got shots in last year, and so he's almost a year old, and he took to it instantly. My older cat has also been in a harness. He's about 10 now, but I trained him when he was, I think, 6 years old. But, you know, for him, it was a slower process. We started by, for cats, it's all about positive reinforcement. That's how they learn. So we would start by just putting the harness by his food dish, so he starts associating with food, or feeding him treats on the harness, eventually putting the harness on and playing with him and giving him more treats. So it was really slow. But there's a woman I know from, I met her in New York, and she adopted a cat. I think he was 12 or 14 at the time, had almost no teeth. He took to the harness instantly. He rides the subway. He met up with us in Central Park, went for a walk. So yeah, cats can surprise you.
Yeah, so age is maybe not an important factor. It sounds like they can learn to be an adventure cat whenever, but tell me more about the indoor cat versus the outdoor cat and adventuring. It seems to me the outdoor ones might be less interested in your adventures if they're already on their own outdoor adventures.
Yes, I think if you already have an outdoor cat or a cat that's used to coming and going from the house, indoor, outdoor, you know, I think putting a cat in a harness is not going to go well because they're used to already having this certain freedom. We look at leash training as more of a way to give an indoor cat access to something that they were being denied before. Or if there's an indoor cat that's, you know, really curious about the outdoors or door dashing, you know, I think a lot of people have had cats that just, you know, you're coming in with groceries, they shoot out the door, they don't know what to do because they're not used to that environment. So looking at ways you can give them the best of both worlds, kind of a happy medium. And that's where leash training comes in. I have heard of people who've taken their outdoor cat and they're like, oh, it'd be great to take Fluffy on a hike. But that's not what your cat's going to be. I think it's going to be harder to undo that training when they're already used to being on their own. So that's not something that I am familiar with.
So we've started down the road of training. Tell us a little bit more about training, the tips and tricks, if you will, to getting the training to stick.
Yeah, so I think people think of dogs as animals that can be trained, but I don't think cats often have that association. But it's really actually easy to train a cat. Like I said, it's all positive associations. So I would say clicker training is really popular. And so what that is you just have a little machine. It could be an app or a little clicker. It just makes a sound. And what you do is you start by what's known as charging the clicker. So click it, give your cat a treat. They start to associate that sound with the food. And from there, you can work on doing a variety of behaviors. So like my cats sit, they spin, they high five. And it's also, what's really great is there are programs like Jackson Galaxy's Cat Positive, and they do clicker training with cats in shelters that are to help them build confidence. Maybe they're a little shy. They learn to give high fives and they get adopted a lot faster. So that's one thing. If you're going indoors or out, I always say, teach your cat, do some clicker training, teach your cat to come when called. I think people say that, you know, there's an assumption they can't do that, but your cat's already trained to come when you call. If you open a treat or they hear the can opening, you know, your cat has that association, your cat comes running. So just build upon that. And then from there, with leash training, you know, we always start inside. And my biggest tip, I would say, is once your cat's comfortable on the leash inside, get in the habit of always carrying your cat out the door. That way your cat doesn't get used to walking out the door, whether he's on a harness or not. So just get those behaviors in early on, and your cat can learn.
So the idea of training them on the harness and on the leash is partly to get them to be accustomed to the activity. But let's talk about best practices, too, when you're out on the trail, and particularly in our part of the country, there's an awful lot of predators and prey. Mm-hmm. Do you keep the cats on the leash?
Yeah, my experience is always keeping cats on leashes. And like my cats aren't going on big epic trips, but I know cats that are. I know there's a cat in Idaho. I need to find out where actually he is. His name is Jasper, and he hikes everywhere. I'll have to share his Instagram with you. It's absolutely gorgeous. But yeah, I think most of the time, like, it also depends on the cat how they're going to hike, I would say. So I've definitely met quite a few. Jasper is a good example. Floyd in Boulder, Colorado. These cats will like hike down a trail for miles and pull you. But you know, other cats, they might get down and sniff, but they don't want to actually, you know, make a miles long journey with you. So you have to work with where the cat is. So I know a lot of people who have cat backpacks. So their cats will ride along the backpack or sit on their shoulder and enjoy the view along the way. Or they'll, you know, it just depends on the cat. Mm-hmm.
Are there other best practices for avoiding conflicts with wildlife? I'm thinking hikers will sometimes wear bear bells in our part of the country. Mm-hmm. Are there bells for cats?
Yeah, there are bells for cats, and there are even, I've never tried these, but there are even these kind of silly looking collars cats can wear that kind of remind me of a clown collar that are meant for outdoor cats so that they can alert birds when they're near to protect the local wildlife. But yeah, what I always tell people is don't take your cat into a situation where you don't feel comfortable or where, you know, in a way, there's a tendency to think of cats as, you know, children, especially among millennials. And you don't want to put your child or your cat in an unsafe situation. So maybe like if you're going hiking in like bear country, maybe it's not right for your cat. Just think about your own level of comfort and how you would handle those situations. Same thing with catios even. So like it's one thing in Atlanta to have a catio where we don't, you know, we have coyotes, but we don't have a huge predator problem. But, you know, maybe somewhere like in North Georgia or Idaho, you would want your cat in a catio unsupervised. So just thinking about what the possible dangers are there, and not just with wildlife, but also with like plant life. You know, you don't want your cat going and chewing on something if you don't know what it is. So I just say, you know your area, know where you're taking your cat, and be able to plan accordingly. And one really great tip that people have is like teaching their cats, you know, one, to come when called, or two, to jump on their shoulder. So that way, if they encounter, if they hear like a dog coming down the trail, get your cat used to coming to you or coming into the backpack. Always have a place where your cat can go to feel safe.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. So, I was going to just follow up on the dog comment, because here in North Idaho, many of our trails have dogs on them. And my own little dog, who's only 9 pounds, will chase a cat if the cat runs. If the cat stands, he won't chase. But on these on trail systems and places where you might encounter an unknown dog, that's got to be a concern for cat owners.
Yeah, that's another reason why it's so important, I think, to keep your cat on a leash. I've been on hikes with several cats. I guess the most, one of those recent was in Fort Collins, Colorado, with a cat named Quandary. And we were out there, we met a dog. Quandary did not want to meet the dog, but you know, we heard the dog coming. Her owner picked her up, she was fine. My own cat, my youngest cat, Travis, we take him to a park not too far away where there's, it's a big neighborhood hangout, especially right now during COVID. There's a lot more people outdoors there. We have it's a little wildlife preserve. There's beavers and birds and dogs, of course. And for Travis, I keep him, you know, either in my arms or my backpack, unless we're in an open area where I can see what's coming. And then I'll let him walk around and do what he wants to do. But I mean, he lives with two other cats and a dog. He's not, I'm more afraid of how he would react to the, how he would treat the other dog. But just, you know, I want to be aware of what's going on, and, you know, I want what's best for him. So I try, you know, we don't put ourselves in a situation where it could likely get out of hand.
Do you end up, how much time do you end up carrying versus having the cat on the leash? And I suppose it's going to be different for every situation mm-hmm. and every cat, but tell us a little bit about the mix.
Yeah, with Travis, since we go to this wildlife sanctuary, we walk on streets to get there. So he stays in a backpack usually until we get onto like a trail area, and then he's welcome to walk around, just because there's cars in the neighborhood, and it's also people stop and gawk because you have a cat on a leash and it's still unexpected. But yeah, I think it depends on the cat. The cat on the cover of the Adventure Cats book is named Waffles, and she's in California now, but she was in Denver. And she's really funny because she will go anywhere with her owner. So she goes to Target and Lowe's. She flies all the time. She is very comfortable on her owner's name is Karen, and she sits on Karen's shoulder. They go to restaurants. They go to breweries. I mean, and she'll walk when she wants to. She picks her up. She's so comfortable in every situation. And so for Waffles, she'll walk if you want to walk. She'll let you hold her if you want to hold her. So it depends on your cats, what they're interested in doing and their level of comfort, I think. But I've met my share of cats that are braver than my dog, who I think is, you know, highly anxious.
So we've talked a little bit about leashes and gear. Let's talk about what your favorite leash harness system is, and what some of other your favorite gear choices are. What's the other considerations for things you might need for the cat?
Yeah. I think there's a lot more on the market now than there used to be. It's very common for people to use small dog harnesses. My personal favorite is the RC Pets Adventure Kitty Harness. So it's made by RC Pets, which has been making, I think, like dog and pet products for about 30 years. And I really like that they took the time to do product testing with a couple of cats in Canada named Bolt and Keel. And so it's very lightweight, it's comfortable on the cat. It has reflective tape on it. And so that's one of the harnesses that we sell in the Adventure Cat store. I think it's just really great product. But there's also the kitty holster is one. I know Jackson Galaxy recommends it quite often. And they're really cute because when you put them on your cat, they kind of fit like a jacket. And one of my cats is more comfortable wearing that because he doesn't like putting the harness over his head. And when you put it on him, he just looks like he's dressed for a very formal occasion. But it's very cute, but it covers a lot more of the body than the RC Pets Adventure Kitty Harness. But there are other ones out there. I prefer the vest-like ones. I think they provide more just comfort and safety for the cat. Some of the strappier ones that are available, I think they're easier for cats to back out of. I mean, cats are little Houdinis, so I would say that's another reason why you start training indoors and make sure your cat can't get out of it.
Do any of them have systems? Can they carry any of their own food or water along with them, or is that just not practical?
I've definitely seen people try it, and I don't know if it's just for photo ops. I feel like my cats would not go for it, and you know, for them, you know, what would I not do for my cats? I'll carry whatever they need. I think that's probably the safest bet. Often cats aren't like my dog. Is a 55-pound dog, and sometimes when we hike with her, we'll have her carry her food on her vest, and even then, she gives me this withering look. So I think it's better for me just to carry their stuff.
I've had the same experience with my dogs. They're not always crazy about it. And I imagine cats would feel the same. I wanted to go back to harnesses or gear for just a moment, because in the dog world, there are some sort of like holding compressive harnesses and jackets they can wear. They're called like Thunder or something that make dogs feel safer when they're wearing them. Does that apply to cats?
Yeah, the Thunder shirt. It's funny, for a few years ago, I worked for a website called Mother Nature Network, And we did product testing with a Thunder shirt on dogs. And then I tested it on one of my cats. And the effect they have on a cat, I think, is similar to a lot of the harnesses. So one thing from people a lot is when you put on a harness or probably a Thunder shirt is that their cat walks funny or their cat falls over and refuses to walk. And so people often abandon leash training at that point. But that's completely normal because we don't typically dress cats up in clothes. It's a completely new sensation for them. So for your cat, you know, start with just a few minutes with a harness on, play with them, give them treats or something like a silver vine or catnip. Just so they're kind of distracted, and then get them to walk a bit and they'll walk funny, but you get them to do it a few times and the cat will adapt. I think it's just so easy to see that and think that your cat is in such distress or refusing to walk that people give up at that point.
I know for dogs on long distance trails, it's not uncommon for folks who bring their dogs along to have booties for their dogs, particularly mm-hmm. the desert where you have very, very abrasive and hot sand. Are there anything like cat booties for the long distance adventuring cats?
I know one cat that has worn booties before, Floyd the Lion, who's in Colorado. I've seen him wearing them because they get a lot of snow. I wouldn't say most cats would probably be interested in wearing them. And I don't know of any brand that makes specifically for cats. But when it comes to like either extremely hot or cold temperatures, I'd say if you were going to go outside in those temperatures, or you know, just do what's best for your cat. Maybe sit this one out, especially in hot weather. My cat Travis is extremely long-haired, and it's been hard for him in the summer months. He loves to be outside, but it's hot, and he's all black. But now that we just got into the 60s, Atlanta, and it's raining, we're gonna be able to take him out a lot more. And you can tell he's just more comfortable when it's a bit cooler. So I would say with booties, you know, talk to your vet. I'm not a veterinarian, but I don't know of any cats other than Floyd that I've seen wearing them.
Now, from one of our listeners, we've got to ask the hard questions on the show. I hope we don't put you or your cat in an embarrassing situation, but do you carry a litter box with you? Or if not, mm-hmm. what do you do? And how do you get an indoor cat to feel comfortable going outside?
I feel like this is always the answer, but it depends on the cat. So I've been out, a friend of mine has a cat in Atlanta, and his name is Severus Snape, and we took him out on a hike, and he'd never been, other than the backyard, ever been out before. He's on a trail, he used the bathroom immediately. But I think some cats, you know, they're so accustomed to using a litter box that that's kind of what they're going to keep wanting to do. So the cat Quandary that I mentioned earlier, what they do is they bring a Ziploc bag of her litter, and if they see her acting like she might go, they put a little bit of litter down, and for her, like, she'll go on that, they'll clean it up. That's another thing, always clean up, just like you would with a dog. You don't want to be leaving anything else out in the woods. But yeah, other people's cats are very comfortable. There's a cat in Sweden named Yuki who goes outside all the time, and she cracks me up, but she just thinks that that's where she goes. It's the natural way. So kind of see what your cat is used to. And I think for a lot of people, when they take their cat out on adventures, it's not for a long period of time. You know, it might be an hour tops. So the cat's totally fine waiting to come back inside. But there are travel litter boxes and collapsible and like biodegradable litter boxes you can get that there's a lot more options in the past few years.
Are there some particularly good for traveling to the trail? I know friends who will take their kids and cats on longer adventures and need to stay in hotel rooms and have expressed mm-hmm. that it's harder to find a hotel room that's friendly towards cats than dogs. So tell us mm-hmm. about that.
That's very true. It's and I don't know entirely what the reasoning is, and it could just be a lot of places people aren't expected to travel with cats. I have stayed in hotels with my cats before when I go and visit family for holidays. Only so many of us can fit in the house. And so we found our share of ones that are cat friendly. And also I would say if you look to, I wish I had Karen here with me, but her cat Waffles, they travel all over the country for her job. Not as much lately, but they stay in lots of hotels. And so she definitely knows which ones are cat safe. And there may be different rules too. If your cat is an ESA or emotional support animal, then you might have more access to certain hotels. But yeah, I would say just look it up beforehand and make sure that, you know, you have the A-OK. And then in terms of getting your hotel room ready, we have a great article on the web on our website, adventurecats.org, to expect in the hotel room and how to get your hotel room to be cat friendly.
Yeah, neat. So this, for me, brings up the whole subject of cats and where they are comfortable. It's been my understanding, maybe it's an inaccurate wives tale, that cats' environments are more important to them than almost anything else. They settle into an environment and that's where they're comfortable. And this brings up the question of cats and tents and camping. How do cats do in tents? It seems to me that they would enjoy a tent, but it's also not their home environment when they're camping.
Yeah, I think, again, it depends on the cat, but there's a cat named Rio who in Denver, who I think has probably spent as many nights sleeping in a tent as she has in her own house. But I think if your cat becomes comfortable, it's just, you know, you maybe keep something with you that's familiar for your cat, if that's going to be a concern, like, you know, the familiar litter, the regular food, a favorite toy, a blanket with the right scent. If a cat's ever stressed too, there's pheromone sprays like Feel-Away, which can help, you know, it cats feel more comfortable. And it's a great product for all kinds of things. But I say, like, you know, if you're doing adventures close to home first, like backyard, a local park, see how your cat reacts. If your cat is curious and having a good time, you can read your cat's body language. Then I think you know going into it if your cat's going to be comfortable spending an evening in a tent with you.
So
you can even set up one in the backyard and give it a test run.
So the idea of tents brings up a whole list of questions. Lightweight backpacking tents have this thin sill nylon material and the fine mosquito mesh, and I'm picturing my cat getting comfortable by clawing into them. How do you train your cat not to do that? Or again, I come back to, are there booties? Or even if you declaw the front claws, which we don't do with our cats, but some do, you generally don't declaw the back claws. How do you avoid damage?
I think it just depends on your situation. If you are a lightweight backpacker, like my husband has invested a lot of time and money into finding the lightest, you know, weight everything, but we're not going to take our cat on that kind of trip. I think you often see cats doing car camping. I mean, there definitely are cats who go against the norm because they're so comfortable in these situations. And I would definitely have to defer to someone like Craig and his cat Millie, or his friend Zach and his cat Kenneth, because they do that kind of, I guess, backcountry camping all the time with their cats. But I would also say that when it comes to claws, I mean, there's ways to train your cat to not claw something. The same way you do at home, using positive reinforcement. And I would say, like, avoid declawing at all costs. Like, just don't do it.
So duct tape.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I think I see the wheels grinding in Phil's mind. Phil, are you thinking about a PCT with Deb and one of the cats?
Well, it's been done before, but what I'm seeing is a heavy layer of duct tape on the claws, which could be hours of endless amusement for everyone involved. We haven't talking a lot about mentioning some individual cats. Let's go into some of the stories more, because there's some great stories out there. And I'll kick off a couple anecdotes, but I'd really love to hear more of what Laura's experienced and written about. But there have been cats that have hiked.
Phil, I'm going to have to repeat that entire question. You just broke up.
Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes.
Okay. There have been cats that have hiked the entire length of the Appalachian Trail. I know of at least two, and one as recently as a couple years ago named Rico. And there have been cats that at least have done over 1,500, 1,600 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail. So there are out there the crazy cats and crazy cat owners. And that may be fodder for a future show, but it's an opening, really, to there's some wonderful cats. There's one featured on your website named Vladimir that's visiting all 50 of the United States national parks, all 50 states that have national parks, and visiting all the parks in them. And that's a phenomenal undertaking.
Yeah, he's completed his journey now. I got to meet up with them actually during their tour of the parks outside of Arches National Park. And yeah, I'm very envious of this cat's life. He's seen so much more of the country than I have. One thing I will say is that a lot of national parks are not, you know, you can't bring your pet out on the trail. So check beforehand. Like Acadia National Park, dogs, cats go everywhere they want. Arches National Park, I think cat had to stay inside, but there was BLM land outdoors where you could camp. So yeah, do your research. But yeah, I think Vladimir is one of those stories that is just so inspiring. And I think they showed people that they do a great job of showing people that cats aren't necessarily what you'd expect. He was comfortable living in a camper. He'd been there since he was a kitten. He went hiking and camping all over the country. He was in deserts. He was in forests. He went paddling. He walked in snow. Their pictures are absolutely gorgeous. You can follow them. At, their website is ourvadventures.com, I think. But yeah, he's one of my absolute favorites. Gosh, I have so many favorite cats. One of the others that I think is just a really great story is Quandary, who I mentioned earlier. So she lives with a couple named Aaron and Graham in Colorado. And Graham proposed to Aaron a few years ago with a kitten at the base of Mount Quandary. And she said yes. And their cat has just joined them outdoors ever since. And they're not hiking as much with the wildfires, and they have two cute little kids. But I think they have the sweetest story. So we have a story on our website that's like, Quandary says I do to adventure. So, you
know. Nice. It's
very sweet.
You mentioned in preparing for this some other cats, Floyd the Lion.
Yeah, Floyd is one of my favorites just because he's a Persian. He's so beautiful and fluffy. And he has, they say he has the spirit of a lion. And he really is fearless. I think he's won over a lot of people who say they don't like cats because he has a lot of very dog-like behaviors. He will come up to you running, wagging his tail. I think he lives in Longmont, right near Boulder. And he's come to a lot of, when I've done book signings, I guess if you're not familiar, there are a lot of cat conventions in the world, just not in 2020. And so Floyd's come to some of the cat conventions with us and met people, and he gives high fives. And I think he just brings a lot of joy to people's lives. But yeah, that's a cat that is just absolutely fearless, and he loves to be outside.
And again, Denali and McKinley, and are they related?
No, they should be. They actually met for the first time. So Denali and McKinley, both named after the same tea. Denali in Colorado, and he does actually a lot of mountain climbing with his owner, Sandra. They have a very cool Instagram that's worth checking out. His is Denali Gatto is his name. And then McKinley is actually a cat from Georgia who went to school with his owner in Washington State. And he's an ESA. And he's been, she graduated recently, and he actually came to stage with his own cap and gown and meowed during her speech. Like, it's so cute. But they came out with me to Denver for a convention called Snow Cats last year. And I gave a talk about adventure cats, and they joined me on stage and got to meet for the first time. So I would say Denali was much more interested in hanging out with McKinley than vice versa, but we had a good time. And I think they kind of break the mold in saying not all cats hate other cats.
So that was exactly where I was going. Do adventure cats just like each other? It sounds like not necessarily.
Not necessarily. I work with a local shelter called Fur Kids. It's Georgia's largest no-kill shelter. And oftentimes when we bring cats into an environment like a PetSmart where people can see them, you know, you're introducing litters of kittens who never met each other, and they can adjust. But I know we've all had hard times if you have cats, introducing new cats into new environments. I did it last year when I brought a kitten named Travis into my house that I was going to foster and then never return. And it was kind of hard for my two older cats at first, but there are steps you can take. But yeah, it depends on the cat. So I think Travis is a special cat because he grew up, my friend found him, and she runs a cat cafe. So he grew up around a lot of other cats and dogs, and he actually shared his space with a baby squirrel. And when I took them in, I was bottle feeding him and a baby squirrel every few hours. And so, you know, when it comes to Travis, he meets other cats with their dogs. He loves it. You know, he's kind of accustomed to it. And I think a lot of adventure cats kind of get used to that. But there are other ones. There's some cats who do great at the great outdoors, as long as they don't see other people or other dogs, you know, or other cats. So learning what your cat's behaviors are is the way to go before you head out on an adventure, and just be prepared.
We have to mention a couple of cats. This whole topic came on our radar screen a couple of years ago. I think it was 2017 when a local adventurer and adventure cat, Leon from Spokane, I don't remember Leon's owner's name, made front pages here in the Inlander and Spokesman Review for some of the adventures they were going on. And we had people asking us to interview them. So this is happening all over. Shout out to Leon, and one of the internet phenomenon that I've been following for a little over a year now is Pip the Beach Cat, which if you're not familiar with that, if listeners aren't, just Google Pip the Beach Cat. He's got a Facebook page and an Instagram page. And Pip is very interactive with other animals and individuals, and is essentially a therapy cat in Atlantic City. No, not Atlantic City, Annapolis, Maryland. Wonderful, yeah. Wonderful.
I think it just depends on the cat. And you can also, there's training you can do, especially when it comes to making a cat, you'd be certified as a therapy animal. So McKinley is a good example of that. He is an ESA, but he also goes to nursing homes and hospitals. And so he meets dogs and people all the time. And his owner has just taken the time to really work with him. So getting him used to being handled by different people, having a lot of cats don't like their belly or their paws to be touched, but to be a therapy cat, they have to be comfortable. So if you step on his tail, he's not going to attack. If he's in a crowded elevator, he's comfortable. And his owner has worked really hard to get him to those points. But he's also just a very, so yeah, again, so much of it is personality.
Which brings me to an important question. Some cats are more outgoing than others. Some are more shy and less willing to be approached by a stranger. And in the event that an adventure cat would slip its harness and go missing, I would think that that would be a concern for certain cat owners for sure, and all cat owners at some level.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's why it's so important. I talked about clicker training earlier, or teaching your cat to come when called. So that's why every time you call your cat, you know, you want to give them a reward, something delicious to say. So that's why I tell people, like, you know, when you're teaching your cat to come when called, always give them a treat. Don't have them come when called and then take them to the vet, because you want your cat to associate coming very positive, so that if the worst case scenario does happen, hopefully you can call your cat, they come right back. I'm very lucky that all the cat owners that I've worked with haven't had these issues before of their cats getting away. But I think just you have to be prepared if that does happen. So, you know, having a current photo of your cat is really important to show people. And all the crazy cat people I know have plenty of pictures of cats on their phones. So there's, you know, taking those precautions, having something good and fishy, like a canned food, or there's a lot of these like tube treats for cats. So a good smelly food to help bring them back. It's also good because cats don't drink water on the trail, but if you have something like that, that helps keep cats hydrated. So yeah, I would say, you know, be prepared for what you're going into. And for, it just depends on the cat. Like you said, some cats are hiking the AT, but the majority of cats are walking around the front yard. So, you know, learn how your cat responds, I'd say. So much of it is just your own personal comfort level and your cats too.
Adventure is all relative. It's so relative. But tell us about the craziest cat adventure you've come across.
Okay. I would say, I haven't met this cat, but there is a cat named, I think if I say it incorrectly, I apologize, Nanakuli in Hawaii. And he's an interesting story because he was rescued from a shelter as a kitten, and he ended up having a bad eye infection and lost an eye and had to keep getting a lot of baths because of, I think, a skin condition. So he's very comfortable in water. So his owners would always just take him to the beach. And he got used to playing in the waves, and eventually he started doing very small like waves, like surfing with his owners in Hawaii. And they have some beautiful pictures, and they basically said, you know, as long as he's comfortable doing it, we'll keep doing it. I think cats in water is always surprising. One of my youngest cat is obsessed with water. We actually got him a little, I guess it's like a dog pool, and we get it out on weekends. This is such a crazy cat lady thing. And we put it in the kitchen, and he just plays in the water. And for him, that's a huge adventure.
So I can just imagine the cat on the surfboard, and instead of hanging 10, it's probably hanging 9 for the 9 lives he has left to live.
There you go. Yeah.
So do cats really have 9 lives? Do they have those close calls and seem to survive?
I think we hear about those stories all the time. With my background, I wrote about every, cat myth that is out there. And so one time I did write a story about, like, do cats always land on their feet? And there is a science to how cats, and I won't try to explain it because I will get it wrong, how cats are able to right themselves when they're falling. But it's why cats who fall from greater distances are usually, it gives them more time to right themselves than like a cat who falls a smaller distance. But don't test this out, anybody?
Yeah,
but I mean, I think cats get this reputation of having 9 lives because, you know, they are very curious animals, and they will test the boundaries. But I would say, you know, don't push your cat outside their comfort zone.
I think the cats landing on their feet might have been addressed on a Science Friday, and I think it has to do something with their spinal composition, the way their spines work.
Yeah, and I've heard that. I've not personally tested it, but I've read those scientific things. No program about cats would be complete without talking about cats in the internet. And we've touched on that a little bit. Some of the cats you've talked about, some of the Instagram. Are there significant cat influencers in the social media world? Who, maybe put it another way, who are the two or three must follow accounts that listeners should tag into for cats?
For cats, well, specifically
adventure cats.
Yeah. Adventure cats, yes, definitely. Floyd the Lion. I think he has like 70,000 followers, and you'll see why. He just takes the most epic, adorable photos. Furry Waffles is another one. So Waffles is the cat on the cover of the Adventure Cats book, and I think she's so great to follow because her she's always in airports and she's on the beach and then she's camping or paddleboarding. And then Vladimir, I think him and his family, they've been all over the world now, and it's O-U-R-V-I-E Adventures. It's like a play on, I think, the French word for life. They're three of my favorites, but you've mentioned quite a bit. I mean, Leon, I can't remember his owner's name either, but I'm obsessed with their Instagram. So it's such gorgeous pictures. Oh, and I would say there's a cat named Suki in Canada who takes such beautiful photos. It just fills me with photo envy, and she has millions of followers for a good reason.
Yeah, I follow Suki on Instagram, Suki the Adventure Cat. Fabulous. So we have time for just a few closing thoughts. We want to make sure you get the website in one more time and probably recap some tips on how to get started.
Yeah, so our website is adventurecats.org, and our we have a store that's store.adventurecats.org, where we sell a variety of cat and human equipment. But yeah, I would say to start out, just if you're going to harness train your cat, just start with positive association. Don't try to immediately put the harness on your cat. Some cats will do great with that, but I would say start slow, let them sniff it, get them some time to just get acquainted with it because it's something new for them. I would say check out the article on our site on training a cat to walk on a leash. I think it's really important that you take the right steps because if you push too hard, you're going to make your cat afraid of you and of the harness, and that's not good for your relationship with your cat either. And even if you never ever go outside with your cat, I would encourage you to do indoor adventures. So specific toys like wand toys to engage your cat in play. Learn how to play with your cat. So, you know, for cats, play is a hunting. So, you know, you want to make the toy move like a bird would or a rodent would, something that they would hunt in the wild. And I will plug, there's a veterinarian that I know, her name is Dr. Lynn Barr, and she has a website called DesiandRue.com, and she makes the absolute best cat toys all by hand. And I've seen, my cats will play with pretty much any toy, but if her toys come out, it's a special experience. And she also hand grinds her own silver vine, which more cats respond to than catnip. So it's a great way to get cats just engaged and what she calls a scent enrichment. So there's ways you can bring the outdoors in for your cat. Ways we have blueprints on our website of how to build a catio, how to make your own catio, and even simple things like bringing in, if you ever come inside from mowing the grass and your cat's sniffing your shoes, you know, cats are interested in these smells. So get indoor grass or bring in twigs from outside. Let your cat explore.
Our cats are big fans of the meowie wowie.
Yes. Yeah, I think cats need grass. And I think that cats have an appreciation for the sights and scents and sounds of nature. So even if you're just opening a window, I have a see-through bird feeder. It's actually more of a squirrel feeder that it attaches to the window, and it's right by a cat perch. And my cats sit there and watch squirrels and birds all day and paw at them and talk to them. And it's, you know, it's cat TV.
Well, this has been a great interview. Laura Moss of Adventure Cats, adventurecats.org, co-editor-in-chief, co-founder of Adventure Cats, and author of Adventure Cats, Living 9 Lives to the Fullest. This has been a great interview. And even for a person like me, a non-cat owner, it's been so interesting. I want to thank you.
Well, thanks so much for having me. Yeah.
Thank you, Laura.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you, Laura. And if you come across any other great adventures, we're always be glad to have you back on and talk about this last year's most fabulous trips for adventure cats.
Yes. Thank you, Laura. And I'll bring the interview to a close by saying that KRFY listeners, please stay tuned, because in the next couple of weeks, we're planning to do another show about a different type of adventure cat, which would be feral cats. That's coming up in October, and that'll be an entirely different topic. But for those of you listening, this has been KRFY Community Conversations with your hosts, Phil Huff and Julie Calamine. Thank you for tuning in. And once again, thank you, Laura Moss, for joining us. Have a great week, listeners. Bye.